On your morning drive time, the 75 is backed up between...
Yes, that's awesome.
Welcome to Beyond Sunday, where we talk about the 167 hours that we live our lives outside the 1 hour on Sunday mornings. And today we're gonna talk about serving. Jeff Mize, who is our music minister. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
How you doing, bro? Good to be back. You've been this is second week in a row? Third week? I can't even remember. It's like going by so fast.
Yeah, he's like a standard, you know, he's always here.
Yeah. He's our stand-in. We've got Hayden Walsh, who is our student pastor, who is my favorite student pastor of all time. So
that's a big one.
He has a sweet shirt on, Heal the City. I noticed it today. It's like a EKG, but it has the cityscape. So I really love it, and I kind of want it. I may buy it from him eventually. And then we got Roger Taff. Roger is our business administrator. So how are you doing this morning, Roger?
Doing well.
Nice.
Doing well.
We're going to make this lighthearted and really talk about just our kind of experiences of serving in the church. Jeff, I want to kick off with you. What is your first ever memory of serving in the church?
Well, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking back, you know, as a student, you know, working in vacation Bible school, you know, after got too old for VBS, all that kind of thing. But then I thought way back, and I thought, well, my mother, when I was a child, let me say that my dad was a pastor of the church. My mom was very active in serving, and I grew up in that environment, you know. And so you were
a shoe-in.
And so he got any job he wanted.
Well, not that. But
he got the ones nobody else wanted.
He did. That's the way the pastor's kid goes.
No, but I remember as a little kid, my mom taking me. She'd go to do nursing home.
Oh wow!
Ministry, and she'd go during the week, like on a Tuesday morning, with another lady or two in the church, and they would have a devotional and they'd do some music and things like that. Well, she would take me along occasionally to sing for the folks. Okay, now this is like when I was like 6 years old, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I remember going with her. Just good memories of doing that, and just the way that my impressions of the people there, you know, not from anything I was doing. I'm talking about observing them, singing the hymns and the old gospel songs and hearing the devotions and just seeing what a blessing it was to them to have people come in and share with them. And so it was just a really warm memory. And it led on to other aspects of that as I grew up and got into high school and I accepted a call to go into full-time music ministry and all. One of my first opportunities was in nursing home ministry before I got into part-time churches and that kind of thing. So anyway.
That's cool. And a lot of like kind of our stories, and we'll talk more about this, is a lot of the serving opportunities led to our full-time callings, which we kind of see that in churches today and especially with students. And Hayden will talk about that too. But Hayden, what was your like first experience of serving in the church?
I honestly couldn't tell you what my first one was because we did stuff like that. I mean, we did different opportunities like to go in. We did like sign language with music and stuff like that,
very
nursing
cool.
homes and that kind of thing. But the first thing that I remember that was like a consistent serving opportunity was when I was in high school, and we had I had two youth pastors kind of up until my senior year of high school, and that was Aaron Groff and Dennis Humphrey. And at some point in high school, Dennis went, and he was actually the student ministry associate, but we never knew that. They were just kind of our youth pastors, you know, kind of thing. And but he moved over to children's, and so he knew me and a bunch of my other friends and stuff, and so he kind of revamped the children's ministry, and they called it PEBS. That was like the kids ministry kind of thing, and it was a full like each Sunday and in Saturday nights, we had Saturday night services at the time too. There was a children's service, and part of it was there was a drama team aspect, and we called it the Clubhouse. And I know that it was part of a big program, but so we had consistent characters. So, like, each person was a character, and so I got to be the character that I got to be, big shocker, I was Gordo, who was kind of the nerd. the kind of the nerdy, like, dorky guy who just doesn't really get it most of the time. And I kind of talked like this. I was kind of just a – I kind of had that voice. And so, you know, Dennis, one of my youth pastors, saw that I was kind of a goofy kid and kind of pudgy and nerdy and thought, well, hey, he'd be a really good Gordo. So I got to – yeah, I got to be Gordo in the drama sketches.
The typecast.
In the kids' ministry, yeah.
That's awesome. Roger, what was your first memory of serving in the church?
It would have to be like youth choir.
Okay.
And stuff. And one of the things that, because, you know, back in the day of the big youth choirs, you know, we'd travel all over the place.
Yes.
And so I was probably in... 8th or 9th grade, and the guy who was doing the sound was a senior, and so they needed somebody to take over. So I started doing the sound for the youth choir.
Okay.
And back then it was at the end of the era of the tape reels.
What is that? Before cassette tapes? Yeah, you're going to have to explain this.
I'm actually asking you what that is. What
like
is
big that? Movie reels?
No. Isn't that what it's called?
Reel to reel. Reel to reel tape.
Yeah. It's a tape, and it's probably about 9 inches on each side.
What?
And then it would play everything, but you could go forwards or backwards on it. And a lot of times they were performance tracks that had like the narration, but we were doing the narration, so you'd have to skip through it to a certain mark to start the music for the song.
Oh my goodness.
That's what accompaniment tracks came on back in those days.
Are you serious?
Was reel to reel.
Okay, is it like those...
sounds real not fun.
Yeah. So is this like the FBI movies back in the 50s where they would be recording in the...
Two reels are going? Yeah. That's it.
Oh.
And when you're splicing, you're actually literally cutting and splicing tape.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, we talk about that. So Jeff had to help me. We were doing a funeral or something, and there was an accompaniment cassette tape, and it kept on like messing up. And he's like, "Oh, it's continuous." And I was like, "What?" There were so many features on a cassette player that I didn't even know existed. And you're like, "You have to hit continuous because that's how the accompaniment goes." And I'm like, "What?" Mind blown. Like, I didn't even know that. Reel to reel.
Reel to reel. Yep.
Oh my goodness.
I'd have a degree to run the sound.
Well, and you have to have a good back to haul that thing around too.
Oh yeah. It weighed a ton.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, and then in high school, still doing that, and the music minister said, "Hey, do you want to do big church sound?"
Big church.
Big church sound. And I said,
calling up to the majors.
I said, "Sure, I can do that." Because we had 3 morning services, and the youth choir was at 8 o'clock.
In the morning?
In the morning. And
oh,
I mean, everybody showed up for it.
Really?
Yep. But anyway, so I started doing that, but it was a whole different thing. And it was, I mean, the boards we have now they don't even compare to what the old ones were, because they were like knobs and things you had to twist.
Oh yeah, we have one of those back in the storage
and in the curb
and everywhere else. Like, yeah, it's
probably bigger than this table.
Yes.
Yeah. And it didn't have very many channels.
It's like studio mixing.
Yeah. It had tubes and stuff like that in it.
Oh yes. Man, I bet that sounded awesome though.
Yeah, that's really
get
cool.
Get it dialed in nice.
So Jeff, you remember those days?
Oh yeah.
What, like, okay, so volunteering in the music ministry, kind of walk through, what is one of the memories you have of like a volunteer opportunity in music ministry, like something that just stands out to you throughout
all
the
growing
years?
Up, I mean, it was a lot of that was with youth choir and ensembles and things like that, and we'd sing different places. We sang at Glorietta one year.
Oh wow.
Our ensemble did. As I got toward the end of high school and maybe as a freshman in college while I was still in Victoria, we put together a band, and some of the guys from the church and some friends of ours that we had, and we started doing gospel music out around the area.
Yeah.
And so we would sing. One of the places we could go get an opportunity to sing would be these all-night gospel singings at these different churches in these little small towns around Victoria. And they'd start at about 7 at night, and they'd end about 7 in the morning. And you go, and you get your slots. They give you your slots to play and sing. Well, man, by the time you got to about midnight and beyond,
yeah,
people were so...
Tired?
Yeah, and there was a lot of charismatic influence in the crowd as well.
Okay.
And so people were jumping pews and running up and down the aisles during these songs. It was awesome. I mean, it was like the spirit is moving, you know, and make you feel like as a 17-year-old group of guys, you're thinking, wow, they're feeling the Lord here, you know, make you feel like you're doing something good. But anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Was that during the Jesus Movement time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that came out of like the 60s and the, or 70s. It was that Southern gospel movement that was maybe before that, you know, back in
the
50s and all too. But yeah, it just kind of developed and had its heyday back in the 70s, 80s. Huh. And so anyway, it was just an opportunity for us to go play and just do something for the Lord and just have some crazy fun doing it.
So, yeah, that sounds fun. Like, Hayden, what would be one of your like best memories of serving? Like,
Memories of serving. I think probably, just thinking along the lines of of being Gordo in the clubhouse sketches. It wasn't uncommon for us to get to either Saturday or Sunday and get there, you know, half an hour before, and there was always somebody who just like had not looked at the script yet. And so
that would be me.
You show up and you're talking through the script and making sure you remember your lines and that kind of stuff. And of course, like the sketches always went along with like the Bible story to some degree. Like there was some sort of lesson that was being pulled from the Bible story of like some little practical thing that you should like, you know, hey, don't lie or don't steal things or that kind of stuff. And so it was pretty common that we would get up to the stage and you'd have somebody have that deer in the headlights look when it's their turn, you know, for their lines. And so you kind of, I don't even remember the original question, but one of the memories that I have was just like seeing that look and then being like, game on, I gotta figure out a way to improv this thing to get back to the point so that we don't end up talking about, you know, something that is completely irrelevant to what was going on.
Do you remember the people that you like did these skits with?
Oh yeah. 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 I don't know. You wouldn't know any of them,
I mean, do you still talk to some of them?
Yeah, I do. It's interesting to see kind of, because that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a long time ago. And, a long time for me. 15 years is kind of like more than half my life ago. And so, you know, at the time, my girlfriend that I was dating at the time was one of the people. And another one of the guys is somebody who is now a pilot. I mean, we've gone just different directions, but we have that shared experience of serving together. And so, and even a lot of them I ended up being able to serve together with, on mission trips and that kind of other stuff. So we definitely have those memories. And when we talk, that's what we talk about, because that's kind of what drew us closer together.
That's so a couple of weeks ago, I was out with Grady and Cobb, and we came a student. I just heard Chris. And a lot of times when you hear Chris in public, you're like, oh, there's 50 others. So, but came back, touched me on the shoulder, and we started talking, and it came back to when we were in Arkansas. You remember that mission trip to the zoo?
Yeah.
And I remember being on the roof, and I remember hearing bang, bang, and then all of a sudden, no, no, and I'm not going to say their name because I won't embarrass them, but no, no, don't do that. Bam, psh, water just starts spouting out. He'd hit a pipe and blew the water main, And I mean, it was going like 15 feet, and Todd Mandeville was like, oh no, shut the water off. And like, it was a scramble, but he was trying to clean out a flower bed and he had a pickaxe and totally like just shredded the water main pipe. And we were talking about that actually. And I remember to this day that moment because he felt so bad, but everybody, it's like you live in the trenches with these people you serve. And so you do remember it's community. And so, Roger, what is a memory you have of serving? What's a fun memory you have of serving?
I don't know if it's fun. It is fun. So one of the churches that I was at, we were remodeling the sanctuary, and the contractor didn't put in the bid to remove the walls. We're putting in some stained glass and some organ chamber screens, you know.
Wow.
When that used to be. And but he didn't put in there to remove the wall.
What?
But he was going to put a new thing in there, but the wall was still there. Yes. So, and the church didn't have any more money to pay. So he goes, I'll leave my tools here, and if y'all can take it out during the weekend.
Really?
So,
destroy a wall.
So, a couple of deacons said, "Hey, Roger, come help us do this."
Oh, wow!
And
that's
I said, awesome. "Okay." So he had left marks for us, and it's plaster walls with the chicken wire and everything else. And so we're using this Sawzall, cutting dust is going everywhere. We weren't smart enough to have dusk mask on, so we're breathing all this stuff in.
Asbestos,
exactly. and the whole sanctuary is getting cloudy with the dust from everything. So we finally get it all cut out, and then later that evening, it's about 11 o'clock. My phone rings, and I answer, and it's one of the deacons, and he goes, "Roger, I need your help." And I said, "What's going on?" He goes, "I just need you to come up here." I go, "Oh, where are you?" He goes, "I'm at church. I need you to come up here."
Yes.
So I go up there, and the scaffolding that's like 20 feet tall, for some reason, he was trying to move it.
What?
And in the choir loft, and it slipped off one of the risers and comes crashing down. Fortunately, the hole in it went right over the pulpit.
Nice.
And missed it, but hit the front pew.
Oh, no.
And split the seat out of it. So we had to stand the thing back up, and the pew had cushions, so we just took the broken piece out. And the Lord's Supper table did bite the dust on that one. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
So y'all destroyed all of it.
Was it a this do in remembrance of me table?
Yes, it was.
Love it.
It's crazy how, like, okay, so you talk about that, like, we were, you know, puppet ministry. Did you ever do anything in puppet ministry, Jeff?
Yeah, I have some faint memories of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no one was a puppeteer?
I did. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
I could see Roger being a puppet, like, puppet master.
Puppet master.
It's great when you get to do two at the same time.
It's always the people you don't expect.
It is. It really, you did two at the same time?
Yeah.
How, like, was it evangelism or what was it?
Skits for VBS and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And then handbells.
Yeah. As an adult. Yeah. Young adult. Got some experience there. Man, you're talking about funny things. And could we do a funny story?
Absolutely. Anything. It's all on the table.
So I mentioned, you know, rest home ministry being my start, you know, basically, you know, and I can remember one Sunday. So there was a guy, a buddy of mine, doing the devotional thought, and then I was doing the music. And then so I'm up there and just, you know, trying my best to do a good job, and I'm cranking out a hymn, you know, with the people in the dining hall. And all of a sudden, in the middle of Amazing Grace, lady at the back, one of the residents, must have thought she was in her own room. But she stood up, and that dress came off of over her head, and she is undressing. Her dress is gone.
What?
And I'm just still strumming that guitar and singing. And about that time, I hear this this nurse or this aide come running into the dining hall,
goodness,
yelling at the top of her voice while the song's going on, "Madeline, get your clothes back on!" And I just kept finishing the song, you know. Like, she yes. went, rounded her up, and took her out. And I can remember thinking, if I live to be 100, I'll probably never hear that happen in church again. You know, those words, Madeline, get your clothes back on.
That's so funny.
Oh, that's awesome. Think
about funny stories I had and about renovation stories. So, same kind of time frame with the Peebs sketches yeah. and that kind of thing. Yeah. That actually kind of all started at the same time as we were going and sort of renovating a building that we had kind of newly acquired. It was the church across the street from the church that I grew up in went and built a bigger property and sold us their old building, and so or buildings actually. And so we were going through and like renovating, you know, making a kids hall, and so you might think differently of me after this story, but we were painting the walls and like kind of doing the kids area, like doing it up like big time, and it was me and like a few people in my class. We came up on a, you know, just either a weekend or maybe it was during the summer, I can't even remember, but I think it's actually during the summer because we went up there and we were just painting day after day. We would just go up there like it was our job. Went up there and we're painting, and I got some primer in my hair, and I had like a faux hawk at the time. Yes. But I got like some just that white sticky primer in my hair, and I was like, oh no, like I had this moment where I was like, I'm gonna just have to shave my head. Well, one of my friends, Kristen, was like, oh, that looks cool. It looks like you have like frosted tips. So
yes.
So
I can see it.
Grabbed the primer brush and did the rest of it.
Yeah. Nice.
So I came home with just a all of my hair just spiked, and my hair was spiky kind of, you know, up in the middle, and so I had primer just in my hair, and my mom was just like, what is that? And I was like, paint primer. And she was like, no, what is your problem? So anyway, it was in my hair for like weeks.
That's awesome.
And I had yes. I, you know what, dang it, I had frosted tips.
You did. So, for a while. Yeah. That's the way to do it, and that's the way to keep the hair going. So that is awesome.
That's a secret.
Yes, talking about serving, one of the things that that kind of goes nostalgic for me is my youth minister when I was a junior in high school. This is really what got me into full-time ministry. And so the question I'm going to ask after this story is, was there a point in when you were serving that you really kind of led you to full-time ministry, a call into full-time ministry? And I don't know if y'all remember, Hayden's not going to remember this because this was pre-digital age, but we used to do newsletters and we had this, what we call clip art. And I remember the first mistake I ever did was, so it was youth specialties. And you would take the clip art, and my youth minister, to save money, you make a copy of it, and then you cut it out. I cut it out of the book. Oh, he was so mad.
Oh, man.
So I wasted that book. You know, it's probably, and you would put it on the sheet of paper, and you'd put the glue stick.
Oh, yeah.
And then you would have to put it on the photocopier, and you had to do it just right so the lines didn't show up, and you had to cut it perfectly. I mean, it was... You did it in Word, you know, and you printed it out, and then you had the different spaces, and you put the clip art on there. And that was the first thing I ever did in student ministry, because I asked my student minister, what would you want me to do? And so I did that. And that really, throughout the fall of, it was like 1996, really got me into wanting to do student ministry. And it was just that simple thing, because I got to talk to him. He sat there at the photocopier and didn't do anything. And come think of it, it was like, I could have thought he was being lazy, which he wasn't. He was giving me an opportunity to serve, and I'm really thankful for that. So is there a moment in time where y'all were serving, you know, maybe when Madeline was doing her thing, Jeff, that you're like, I want to be a worship leader. Yeah, like, yeah. Is there a moment that in serving that just led to you wanting to be called or feeling called into ministry?
I don't remember necessarily a particular thing. I remember I was always involved in our music ministry growing yeah. up at church, and that's just where I really found my joy, you know, in serving and being a part of all those things. I have early memories of, and like, you know, I mentioned the going to the nursing home with my mom. Well, one of the really neat memories I have about that was meeting a lady named Mrs. Washington. And Mrs. Washington was had a degenerative bone disease that I've never met another person that had this disease. And I mean, I know they're out there, but like her hands had no bones in them at all by the point that she was
really
at this age. Yeah, like in her 90s. But she was bedridden, and mom would take me over to the side of the bed and you know, have me you know, visit with her and with mom and everything. And I remember Miss Washington would, you know, just reach her arm out to shake my hand. And I remember as a little boy shaking that hand that had no finger bones in it,
Oh, my goodness.
But her face would be just lit up with joy, you know, of what God was doing in her life, you know. And she made such an impression on my life about, you know, with what the joy of the Lord is like, even in the midst of situation like what she finds herself in, you know? And so those kinds of experiences throughout my life added to just the joy I always felt being a part of our music ministry there at church, eventually just brought me to that point of saying, you know, this is where I feel like God
is story.
Wanting me to serve, so, or to be, spend
hey, Jeff,
my life.
Look at you, man. That's awesome. I love that story. Hayden, was there a time in your life like...
I don't think that there was a part of serving that that really led to a call to ministry for me. But there was definitely moments in serving that affirmed that call, I think.
Yeah.
I think of... You know, I felt called to ministry in high school, and then after high school, I went and I was actually serving in a volunteer capacity at a church that we had, that my church that I grew up in had sort of taken in as a sister church because they were struggling with staff and finances and stuff. And so I went and served there immediately, almost immediately after I graduated, and you know, I got to serve there for 3 years, and then, I don't know if it was 3 years, it was for a few years. And then I, you know, after that, I had a period where I was sort of running from the Lord and I wasn't, you know, involved in church at all. And so it's kind of weird because, like, before all of that, you know, when I was serving, I was in youth ministry. I was doing youth ministry.
Yeah.
It was all volunteer stuff because we were at this tiny church. I mean, we had like 20 people showing up at the, you know, the very most, you know, youth group and that kind of thing. But I got to sort of see what it was like to prepare a lesson and to lead worship and that kind of stuff. And it was very different from how I grew up in youth ministry.
Yeah.
But it was really cool to get to see another side where, you know, I grew up and everything was done big. You know, it was done. It was really exciting and cool, and there was lights and, you know, there was really good teaching and that kind of stuff. And I got to go to this place where it was like, man, if somebody shows up, those kids are so excited and stuff. And so that really kind of just affirmed that call in my life to that students were who I wanted to be around because of what they were struggling with. You know, I had insight to, and I really just enjoyed walking through what teenagers and preteens walk through alongside them. So
yeah,
for sure. Cool. It definitely affirmed that call.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Roger, I know you got to think way, way back.
Yep. You know, I was always involved in church, and when in high school, I'd go up there and visit with the different ministers and just go, I'd say, hey, anything you need me to do? And I remember one time coming home, and my mom goes, do you think you're spending too much time at church?
Nice.
And I'm just like, I don't know how many parents ask that question.
They want you to go.
She goes, you know, you may be bothering them. And I was like, no, they'd tell me. So anyway, it was through different people that I met, you know, people doing Bible studies in college that kind of made me wonder if God wanted me to be in the ministry.
Wow.
And so it was through their service of, you know, to college students. And so that's how, and you know, I just told God, you know, I'll do that if you want me to, but you're going to have to let me know really clearly.
Yeah.
And so it was a journey to get there.
You know, you talk, Hayden, like about like the differences. There is two different styles of church that one of the sweet things that I loved about our youth minister when I was growing up is the involvement he allowed us to be a part of everything. I don't know why he let me teach. Like, what was he thinking? I look back on that and I was like, I was not a good kid to allow to teach, but he did. And he gave us a position in that. Are y'all thankful? I'm really thankful for Brian Shipman. I think he formulated my life, like just with allowing me to do things at the church and serve and be a part of it. Kind of like what Roger said, the staff was up there. Is there one person that really has impacted your life in that? Give them a shout out on there. So can you think of, like, you know, Roger, who would you say was the minister that, or who, like a volunteer that impacted your life?
Yeah. I think, you know, growing up, it would be Fred McNabb and Glenn Smucker and Brother Jack Riddlehoover, who spoke a lot of truth and gave me opportunities to serve and do stuff at the church.
Wow.
And then, you know, when you get away from your home church and you're still wondering to if this is what you're supposed to do, you need people to guide you. And Scott Harrison was that person.
Okay. Very cool. Hayden?
Mine would be I would say Dennis, the guy that I talked about earlier.
Okay.
He was the one that gave me that opportunity. You know, yeah. He saw what a bonehead I was and took a chance to say, you know, I know that you're called to do this. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to try it. And so definitely Dennis and then Aaron was my the other half of that youth pastor duo. And he's the one that actually called me to go to that church that I got to serve at I graduated. So, yeah. And then Anthony Watt was the youth pastor that I had for half of my senior year. I had Aaron and Dennis all the way from sixth grade until the beginning of the spring semester of my senior year.
Nice.
And then Anthony came in and he gave me the opportunity to serve, and then actually helped me find he plays a huge role in my life, but he helped me find my first full-time ministry opportunity too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, lots of men.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine would be Mickey and Connie Ewing. They would be, I was coming up through student ministry, in the days when, it was common to have music and youth positions, even in the church size church we were in at that point in time. And, Mickey and Connie came as, when I was an eighth grader, they came to our church, and Mickey was our music and youth minister, and they both very musically talented. And so, through all those years, I mean, you know, every Bible study I sat under, you know, was led by him. I mean, a lot of the verses of scripture that I committed to memory that I still, you know, recall to mind on a daily basis. You know, I memorized during those days.
Wow.
You know, with him and Connie and, you know, all the mission trips, all the ski trips, all the opportunities of being able to see ministry modeled. And it came through me coming up underneath them. And so I thank them for that.
Very cool. Very cool. So
I got something on the other side of that, Chris.
Yeah.
We talked about us being, you know, doing service, but I think a lot of times as a minister, the people that we serve with that are volunteering in our ministries or in our churches, they're also a great encouragement to us.
That is true.
I can remember two guys that I've been friends with now for, older than Hayden's been alive. when I got to the church, they had, you know, those big marquee signs, you know, where you have to put the letters up.
Yes.
They came up every Sunday afternoon and did that.
Wow.
And so I said, hey, can I tag along? So all three of us would go up there, change the sign. We'd go by Sonic and get a Dr. Pepper and, you know, chat. And then we started doing Wednesday meals There were three of us couples that's what we did. One of the things that we started a Wednesday meal and started feeding people. So, you know, just all that time serving together, we've, you know, been friends now for 30 years.
And that's, one of the beauty, you talk about that. Jerry Williams and Roger were just here this morning, Roger Schwarzenbach.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to get up early in the morning and hear them just laughing in the conference room. And they're volunteers. They give every week to be here. They're on Wednesdays and they're writing checks, but also just they're loving on us and checking in on us and asking questions. And there are those volunteers. I love Wednesday nights with the band. Mm-hmm. Every one of them on stage are volunteers.
Yeah.
There's not a single paid person on that stage. They're all volunteers and they love doing what they're doing. In the youth area, all those teachers, all the people running sound, like everybody's volunteers in this church. I love that. They're faithful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're faithful. I can think of Dulcie White down in the preschool area. She is going to be there greeting. Ronnie Smith,
yeah.
Will be down there greeting every single week. And when he's not there, I miss him. That's what volunteering is it's community. At one point, we were volunteering, but now we're on the other side of it. But we're still blessed because it's community. We know those people, I feel close to the band now that I work on Wednesday nights when we record and stuff. And we shed tears, we laugh. It's community. And you know, one of the things I love that Hayden's doing is he's putting this team together to show students that it's community. Volunteering is where the heart of community comes. And he's trying to show those students because I think that is where I learned that how much God loved me, but also the importance of community. I sat in a small group, but it's when I was in the trenches with my friends, and those are the people I remember the most. I cannot tell you the students that were in my small groups in seventh and eighth grade, but I can tell you the students that I went on mission trips with, the students I served with, the welcome team that we had, the greeters. That's where you get known. And I think I want to encourage our people, get plugged in. You know, if you could encourage them, what would be one word you'd say to somebody that isn't serving right now, Jeff? Like, what would you say to them?
It just expands your, it gets you outside of yourself, you know. It forces you to put yourself in a position there. And a lot of times you feel like you're out of your comfort zone by doing it. I mean, personally, I do, in different areas. But I always come away from it being blessed by God through mm-hmm. the experience, you know, far more than I feel like I've been a blessing to somebody else.
Yeah. What would you say, Hayden, to a student that, you know, or a parent that's listening to this about just serving and community?
Yeah. Serving is something that we're all called to do. It's not something that, you know, for us as Christians, and, you know, we tend to soften things. You know, it's not an optional thing. And what I mean by that is just the same thing is like repentance is not optional, you know, like obviously, you know, there are going to be seasons where we don't do it well.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like someone's going to, you know, lose their salvation or no longer be a Christian and you don't get kicked out of the club or whatever, but, you do lose out on blessing.
Yeah.
You know, one of the biggest parts, you never want to do something good because of what you get out of it. Right.
Yeah.
But, the most blessed moments of my life have been when I've been able to serve,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's, serving, you know, if you know anything about me, you know, I'm not the dude that, is the best person to call when you need help moving. Like, I'll come, I'm not going to be much help, but, there's, you know, working with my hands alongside other men and women mm-hmm. Of the faith, that has been the biggest blessing. And I think that's not by accident. That's by design. What I would say to someone who is not serving now and is, you know, thinking about it, I would just say, just do it. You know, you're called to do it. You're designed to serve. And do it out of an abundance of what you've been blessed with. Yeah.
Roger.
Scripture tells us that we're all part of one body mm-hmm. and we all have a part that we're supposed to be doing. You know, and a lot of times, you know, was brought up earlier, that you feel uncomfortable because you've never done that. Maybe you don't know who the people are. Well, you're never going to feel comfortable. You're never going to know the people until you take that first step out there.
Yeah.
And so there's always a little uncomfortableness at the very beginning. And when you see the people that are really good at doing something, it's because they've been doing it a while, but at some point they had to start. So, you know, I think I'd just encourage people to take that first step and test the waters.
Yeah. And you never know the impact you're going to have. I learned a lot working with, every year we would go build a church somewhere. That was kind of a summer deal. And my dad would take me on a weekend to go and help. And I learned so much from the older people about how to use my hands. You know, Hayden was talking about using your hands. I didn't know how to do anything, but they gave me a nail gun. And I was like, what are you doing? And and I used that. And at one point I shot the nails through the roof and didn't hit the, and so I was shooting them at people down below. But they gave me grace and they allowed me to be a part of that. And a cool story kind of to wrap this up is Camp Copus, my dad took us there to help build some of the cabins there. And he also helped put up the three crosses that are there. And my dad sent a picture of him putting up those. And then my son goes to a retreat with Lisa in the children's ministry there, and he has a picture right in front of it. And my dad and I never knew that I was going to have a son that would be blessed by that service. It's generational.
Wow.
It's just kind of cool. And we have plenty of stories like that. But serving is a calling that builds on community. And I think a lot of people miss out on that. And so if you're out there and you don't know, you know you're called to serve. God has gifted you to serve. We want to help you really get that calling. And so check out our website. We want to get you connected. We have ministries to help you find out what you're gifted at. And also, if you're introverted, extroverted, I hear it all the time. I'm introverted. There's no place for me to serve. You would not believe at First Baptist Allen how many people behind the scenes are making things happen that they're not up in front of people. But every single Sunday, we are able to do things because of the people that are sacrificing and being a part of it. So we're thankful for you. We look forward to the next week, and we will see you next week.